Good morning and welcome to today's broadcast. You're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here, and today we're going to go back into our archives for a discussion, a continued discussion on the fruit of the Spirit and the importance of peace. And part of this discussion, which was really applicable to where we are today, is understanding how we are to allow the life experiences that we've learned prepare us from here on out. Here is a recording from episode 27.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this morning. And we thank you that the new mercies are laid for us this morning. We thank you and glorify you and honor you. We take the time to ask you to forgive us for sin, for aught, for iniquity and transgression. Father, our desire is to walk right. Our desire is to fulfill the will and the purpose and the call that you have for us today. So we set our sights and we set and orchestrate our day to be obedient to you, to be submitted to you, to be committed to what you're desiring today. We admit, Father, we don't know, nor do we understand the desires that you have fully. So we ask, Father, that as your anointing comes and as you begin to illuminate this earth with your presence, that you also, Father, hold our hand, guide us, lockstep in with us, so that we don't disappoint you, and so that we honor and glorify you, that we reflect your goodness, your mercy, your joy, your peace that we're about to begin to talk about more in depth. That be the peace that you called for. We give you the praise right now. We give you the glory. And we take the time to set our time with your time. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Andre, I will pass that back to you. Amen.
All right. And before we get started, we're going to go ahead and pass to Pastor Doug's before Torah study blessing. Before we engage in this word of study, in the study of the word, we want to acknowledge our Father and give gratitude to him. Pastor Doug.
Ruach atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen and amen. Last week, we continued on our topic of discussion pertaining to the necessity of the fruit of the Spirit, and we rested on peace for a good bit. And peace is actually one of the, I would say, one of the fundamental, they're all fundamental, they're all important fruit, but peace is an extremely important component and facet of the fruit of the Spirit as a whole, the nine fruit of the Spirit. But last week we began to explore this question of how to survive the Great Tribulation, and our starting off point was from reading Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. And I'll go ahead and read that again and we can jump in. It says, when he opened the seal, and that is the second seal, excuse me, and this is Yahushua, Jesus, opening the seals. It says, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Verse 4 says, another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the world, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. We began to look at that phrase. It was basically given to him to take peace. It was granted to the one who sat on it, on the horse, to take peace from the earth. And we began to look and see how we can begin to chart and see how the fruit of the Spirit are systematically dismantled or withdrawn or sifted from the earth. And it's a reminder for the saints to prepare themselves and to store up if you will, the fruit that's necessary for this time. Just a quick reminder, we see that Yeshua is given the task to remove the seals, and knowing full well that peace must leave the world in order for the tribulation and the wrath of God and his justice to manifest in this world. The wrath of God has to be poured out on the disobedient. As prophesied, it's stated, it is decreed. And so we see that these things must take place. Now, again, reminding ourselves, the good news is the wrath is not for the bride, and the bride is not destined for the wrath. And so we have to remind ourselves that we are preparing ourselves to hide ourselves for a little while, as it says in Isaiah, that we need to be prepared to be removed from that situation. Now, to further illustrate also the environment that we see happening and leading up to the tribulation, we see more of the fruit being sifted out of the earth from Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. It says, the love of many will grow cold. And then it begins to describe in that chapter as well a lot of the signs of the times, which we see is basically the antithesis to the Spirit and its fruit. In conjunction of this, we also wanted to make sure that we had a solid Hebrew and Hebraic understanding of the word peace, which in Hebrew the word peace is shalom. And we literally broke that down. We understand the definition of it is nothing missing or broken. But when we look deeper into the meaning of the Paleo-Hebrew letters themselves, we see that shalom is the signature of God, his stamp of approval, securing wholeness to earth from the heavenly realm. Peace comes to bring restoration, and most importantly, wholeness and completeness. And when we see this wholeness and completeness being dismantled, that is the essence of what it means for peace to not be present or to be removed. One of the things we talked about in that whole discussion, Rabbi, I'm sure you remember this, we were talking about how do we put this into practice as far as peace. And we also began to look at Isaiah chapter 53 and how it works. And we began to break down all the many pronouns that we find in Isaiah chapter 53, around verse 10 and 11. And we began to put those pronouns into place to see that Yeshua himself is the integral component for our peace being found in the earth. And also I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where it says, perfect peace have they whose minds are stayed on him. I remember, and this is my last thought, Rabbi, before I pass to you, I remember last week just being reminded of how the situations that we find ourselves in leading up to the tribulation are like pop quizzes, if you will, for us to check ourselves to see if we're still in the faith, but also to see what fruit we're bearing and to see if we do have peace, to see if we are walking in love, to see if we are faithful and have self-control. And I know I'm skipping a few, but I just wanted to show how we need to make sure that we are demonstrating the fruit necessary in this time. But it's important for us especially to recognize that we need to have that perfect peace with our minds on the Father, on God. But also we know that the peace of God transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and our minds in Messiah Yeshua. So that's an important part for our protection and our preparation. So Rabbi, with that, I'll go ahead and pass it back to you.
Amen. And I'm just going to pick it up right there. The reason why I'm picking it up there, although we're going to continue on the pursuit of peace, but I'm picking it up there because it's imperative that we understand quite a few of the rich nuggets that you were sharing just then that we had discussed before. But understanding that we are in the here and now, and what that means to me when I say in the here and now, it means that whatever we were taught before, whatever we had studied in our prayer time or focus groups or cell groups or just what we've ever witnessed or learned or began to apply to our life is necessary and it's needed in this hour. Can't stress that enough. And actually, I'm learning from the Father that I don't have to stress it, because life experience will do all of the tutorial from here on out. The life experiences that you go through, the heartaches, the knocks, the misfortunate bruises that you go through from here on out, will begin to teach you. It will begin to instruct you. And we must be in a place to where we can allow the Word to do the teaching. But unfortunately, the manner in which we are going as a macro, global society, the world's experience is in the process of teaching us those things that we should have learned and should have been applying and appropriating in our lives based upon the Word of God. So, with that said, the word that was used, or at least one of the words that was used by Pastor Andre, was perfect peace, and that came out of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Now, we need to understand that word perfect. And when I say understand it, understand how to apply it in your life. Because it is more than necessary. It's essential. It's what I would call one of those essential attributes that you must have if you're going to be an overcomer. Because there's just going to be two types of people in this time, in this day, in this hour, and that is going to be those who are overcomers and those who aren't. The word literally means to become mature in the area in which it's designated. So when you see or you hear the word perfect from the biblical perspective, the Hebrew perspective, you need to understand when you connect that with peace, then that means there has to have been a trial and error. There has to have been a learning curve that has happened in order for the individual to become perfect. In other words, the person has to be mature, and the only way that you get mature is through going through the process. And the process is not easy. There will be mistakes. There will be setbacks. If there aren't any setbacks, then peace, the peace with the understanding of the word peace, is not necessary. Because peace is there to fix those things that are broken. Peace has been designed by God to restore something or someone back to its original state. Now, it's imperative that we get an understanding of these components going forward. Because in order for tribulation to come, peace has to be taken. In order for hard times to come, difficult times to come, the peace of God, I'm not talking about the peace of the world, but the peace of God has to be taken. Now, we're going to get into some scripture, and I want to make sure that that you understand that the Holy Spirit is wanting me to give the essence of what this teaching is going to be about today, this morning, before we go into Scripture to fortify and to validate what we're saying. So these bullet points, I definitely want you to write down. I definitely want you to begin to apply to your life and begin to meditate on them. Because, like I said, life's experience will be your teacher from here on out. and you will know, I will know, whether or not we have matured, become perfect in appropriating peace in our lives. Now, one of the other bullet points before we go into our main themes, if you will, before we go into the scriptures themselves, is making sure that you understand how peace is produced or how peace is manifested. Now, peace is manifested by faith in the Word of God pertaining to the particular situation. I'm going to say that again a different way. Peace is the product of you and I appropriating and receiving and germinating the Word of God pertaining to our particular situation or circumstance. Now, that's important to understand because there's a part that you and I play in appropriating peace. The Father can say, or as we all know, angels can say, peace, be still. But it's our choice, whether we understand that or not, to receive that peace. Because it's not just a greeting. Unfortunately, Hebraically, it has been transformed to more of a greeting. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Or a greeting to approach someone coming towards you. Or a greeting to identify with the end of a conversation. So, you know, a hello or a goodbye. But Hebraically, it's always been a literal. When Gabriel came, and I'm just giving one example. When Gabriel came and appeared to Miriam, or to Mary Magdalene, when he appeared with the understanding of the shalom or peace means for the individual not to get in fear and torment. When Yeshua appeared and said, peace be unto you, it was not just, hey, how you doing? I just showed up and just wanted to, you know, have some male bonding time with my men, you know? No, that's not what that was about. He knew that by him just appearing through the wall, the adversary would try to use that opportunity to cause fear to come upon his disciples. He already had a scenario when he had told them to go over to the other side of the Galilee. And he had prayed all night. And the storm was raging and they were toiling and trying to get to the other side. And then he walks on the word above the water to get to the destination that he had told them to, that he would meet them at. And they, of course, most of you know the story, were frantic and terrified because they perceived that they saw a ghost. So when Yeshua, when the angels of the Lord come and appear to you, it's not just a greeting. It is to change the atmosphere. And if we receive that, then our atmosphere immediately goes through a transformation. This is the single most important reason why the devil wants to and desires to take the peace from the earth. Because chaos cannot thrive. It cannot produce. It's in desire. It's like a cancer that has received the antidote and it begins to die and decay. That's what peace does to anything that's diabolical of the enemy, any assignment against you of the enemy. That's what peace does to his desires. So we must understand and know how peace is manifested. Because in this time, in this season, even though peace will be taken from the earth, peace should never be taken from the believer. Now, Pastor Andre, I think I need to repeat that one.
That's good.
Even though peace has already been designated by God to be taken from the world, he never told peace that it had to leave the believer. We need to make sure that we understand that going forward, because the times, they are definitely changing. Perilous times are here. But these perilous times have never been prescribed for the believer, for the bride of Yeshua. It was only prescribed for the world. You and I are supposed to be living in Goshen, even though the plagues of the lack of peace are happening in Egypt. Now, what this does for me and what it does for you, I pray, is it lets you and I know where we are. Let's not just confess with our mouth that we're in Goshen when we have plagues all over us. Let's examine. And if we do have plagues, then we need to say, in this particular area, I'm not in Goshen. I am not appropriating the proper peace that the Father says I'm supposed to have every day. How do I appropriate this peace pertaining to this particular situation so that I will have what has already been spoken of in Isaiah 26:3, perfect peace, mature adult type of peace. Now, we've talked about, and we'll go ahead and get into some scriptures now. We've talked about Revelations, and we've talked about the fact that the world is going to not have peace. So we understand that to be what it is. Okay? But now what I want to do is I want to go and begin to really dissect the understanding of how peace works. And the best way to do that is to first begin to talk about what Yeshua said. And I believe it's Luke chapter 18, if you can check that one for me. A correction.
Sure.
Let's go to, before we go to 18, let's go to John. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Okay?
All right.
Because we're going to talk first about Yeshua and what Yeshua said that he has given. Okay?
Yes.
Because when Yeshua speaks, remember, when Yeshua speaks, the Father still has first spoken to him. So Yeshua is only sharing. He's only reiterating what the Father has said that needs to be said. So when he speaks, then we know this is what the Father desires. Okay, go ahead and read.
All right. Verse 27, this is John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Okay, continue to read until about verse 31, and then we'll break
okay.
it down.
Now, okay, 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Okay. Now, as we begin to break this down, one of the first things that I think everybody sees, you know, is the fact that he speaks or he appropriates to them peace. Now, we've got to put, Pastor Andre, we've got to put our Hebraic caps on here. He's not greeting them, okay, but he's equipping them. I'm going to say that again. He is equipping them with the armor of peace. In this day and time, we must be equipped with the armor of peace. As he's equipping them, he begins to break down an understanding and a difference between the peace or the armament of war that he gives to them versus the armament of war that the enemy has and will use against them. Because the demonic realm will try to sell you and I a false peace, a false assurance that everything is okay. Scripture says they'll be saying prophetically, peace, peace. But swift and sure destruction will come instead. We need to make sure that we understand that the peace that Yeshua is speaking to his disciples is the exact same peace, the exact same armament that the Father is speaking to you and I to appropriate and to utilize. The way in which our peace is used is diapositively different than the way the peace of the world uses its peace or professes its peace. Okay? Now we're going to go back and break down or go into a couple of more of the bullet points that we talked about. We're going to explain them a little bit better. I just kind of gave you the overview first, and then now we're going into the actual detail of that overview. All right, we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. Okay? Now, what I want you to glean from this is that Paul is speaking to the congregation of Rome while he's in prison. And as he's speaking to them, he begins to explain to them how peace and joy, okay, how peace and joy are produced. Okay? So as Pastor Andre gets ready to read this, I want you to be focusing on how does peace and joy, how is that produced? Okay, go ahead. That's right.
Amen. Verse 1, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Amen. All right, and let's go back and break this down. So, what is being discussed here is Paul is teaching and preparing them, because he knows that he is going to be exiting the world. He knows his fate, his final destiny is about to happen and about to manifest. So he is assuring, he is equipping, he is arming the saints. He's preparing them for the tribulations that they're going to have to face. So in doing so, remember we talked about the fact that tribulation could not come unless peace is taken out first. Now, when the peace is taken out from the world so that the tribulation can come in a situation, let's break it down to a micro level. In a situation, it's always your peace that is being threatened, as well as your joy. But we're focusing right now on peace, okay? All right, it's your peace, because your peace is the weapon. Your peace is the weapon. That is what is being taken. That's what is being threatened right now. Now, the peace is a part of the faith that is exhibited by the word. So God gives you a word. Let's say you're going through a situation or something, and you're needing an answer pertaining to a problem. The Father will give you the answer. But once he gives you the answer, it's up to me and you to begin to apply that answer to ensure that the answer is the answer, and not just a answer that actually to an equation that really doesn't give that end result that you need. Now, the act of applying it, the act of producing it or manifesting it, that's the faith model that we were talking about before. And that faith is you believing the word, and it's not just a mental assent believing, but it's an actual applying it and walking it out believing. That's the Hebraic difference. Okay. So when the Father speaks to you about something and tells you something, then you have to act on it. You have to apply it. You have to make it work. Okay? Let's say a person runs out of fuel, okay, and needs fuel. So someone goes and gets them fuel. But they give it to him or her to put it in the tank. Now, if you say, well, thank you for the fuel, but never put it in the tank, then the vehicle will never be replenished and it will never run. That's the way some of us believers are acting pertaining to the whole concept of faith and receiving their joy and their peace. You and I have to apply it or it will not work. It will not replenish itself. We have to act on it. Now, another aspect of what this is saying here, and I'd like for Pastor Andre to read verse 1 and 2 again, and then we're going to go back into that.
Sure.
And these are, okay. Pastor Andre, these are areas where, as believers, we have missed the understanding of how to appropriate peace properly. Okay? Go.
All right. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Okay. Now, Yeshua, as he walked the earth, was a man just like you and I. But he was a man that was called to redeem the world. So in this particular passage, when it says in verse 1, when it begins to say by Jesus Christ, it's talking about by his redeeming or redemption power, his act of redemption, literally. It's talking about his act of redemption. Now, that is a part of the peace that we're talking about. Now, we need to understand that, and the reason why is because we have, in order to appropriate peace, we have to understand and apply the components of peace. One of the main components of peace is the redemptive work of Yeshua. We don't need to ever get confused or get things convoluted by looking to Yeshua and saying, Yeshua, help me, Yeshua, help me, Yeshua, help me, Yeshua, help me. Yeshua has already helped you and me. Now, the word that was given pertaining to our situation, that, now watch this, Pastor Andre, that becomes our Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Did you catch that?
You say
we are so caught up in we are so caught up in looking for a man to save us again and to go back on the cross. Mm-hmm. And Yeshua said, "I've already redeemed you. Mm-hmm. Now follow my word. My word is your Yeshua now. You're looking to a man who has already fulfilled an event and has told you, now look to the word, because that word is now my Yeshua." Now, being Hebrew, when I say my word is my Yeshua, that makes perfect sense. Being Christian, not so much. Because from a Hebraic perspective, the word Yeshua is all through the Old Testament. But you have to understand that word Yeshua in the Old Testament literally means salvation. So in the passage it says, "My Lord, Lord is my God and has become my salvation." It's literally saying has become my Yeshua. But from a Hebraic perspective, I'm not looking at a man to save me. I'm looking at the word, the literal word, or the advice, or the information that is needed in order to solve the problem. But from a Christian perspective, when we say Yeshua, we're still, in most cases, not all cases, but in most cases, we're still looking for a man to save us who has already saved us over 2,000 years ago. Now, when a word comes to us, we need to get a better understanding of that now is my Yeshua. That's my salvation for my situation. And as I believe and apply it, then my peace and joy is restored. And my peace is appropriated pertaining to that situation. Now, Pastor Andre, before I go too fast and before I get individuals too just escalated here, okay, I want to go back to your question, and I would like for you to begin to give me feedback of what you just believed that you understood that I shared.
Wow. So this, for me, this train of thought goes all the way back to when you said, you know, we don't want to have basically fuel but not put it in the tank. And you began to describe how Yeshua is and has done work for us. But the question is, are we actively applying the work? Are we sitting here looking for him to do something for us physically as a man? Or are we looking to the words and the equipment that he gave us in order to produce and to do the things that we need to right now, to for him to be for us what we need him to be? We need to look to the word. And it hit me pretty hard when he says in John chapter 3, verse 23, that his words are spirit and they are life. And we forget that because we don't necessarily apply it like it is, that like it has the potential energy or the power to do something now. And I know that sounds bad, but when we are waiting for something to happen but not applying his word, we're missing the point of how this is activated. And another one that comes to me, I mean, if he is the word of God, coming from John chapter 1, you know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. The word of God, which was a part of creation, has come, and he's saying, my words. He's now saying, I'm imparting this to you, just like you said earlier. I love that phrase. You said Yeshua was equipping us when he says, my peace I give to you. That's his word right there. And he's saying, right now, activate the words that I'm using and giving to you right now, because they are life. So I love the last one, the last notes I wrote down. It says, when a word comes to us, we need to apply it so that we can see Yeshua. It just gives me a whole understanding. I'll pass to you right now. But it gives me another understanding of seeking his face and seeking him through his word. Rabbi.
That's excellent, because seeking his face is not, you know, let me have a conversation with you and let me physically meet you. Seeking his face is seeking the very essence of who he is. The essence of Torah is Yeshua. The essence of Yeshua is the word. The word, not any word, but the word that came or that comes from the Father. I was praying about a problem that I had. And the Father quickly, he answered me. Now, the problem was not that he answered me. The problem was I didn't like the answer he gave me. It took me over a year to appropriate and apply the answer that he gave me pertaining to a certain problem. And I was definitely not in peace over a year. Now, was it the Father's fault that I suffered for over a year pertaining to this problem? Of course not. It was my fault. I was the one that waited for over a year to put fuel in the tank to drive the vehicle. So it sat there for over a year. How is this so much like many of us believers?
Very.
How is this very much like the areas in our individual lives? The word has already been given. The Father does not hesitate in giving you Yeshua. Yeshua is both the Savior and salvation. He is the word salvation to whatever your particular need is. So when you hear or when you read this particular passage in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, by your Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Better make sure that you understand. I better make sure, in my example, that I understand. For a whole year, actually longer than a year, Yeshua was not my Lord. In that particular area, I did not allow Yeshua to lord over my life. And you can pick either one of those examples, either the man Yeshua or the word Yeshua. In this case, it's both. In the area where I am disobedient, in the area where I am not submitted to the word and the will and the purpose of the Father, for me, I am not allowing him to lord over me. I am a disobedient servant in that area. And what were we talking about before? We were talking about perfect peace. Perfect peace. We need to make sure that we understand that that word perfect, as we said before, is a process of getting there. So even though there's areas where I have not allowed him to lord over me, if I am still striving to get there, then I'm still working out my perfection that he's calling for me. And as Paul was talking about the grace that is given, the grace, one very quick definition of the word grace is the opportunity or the time that you have been given to get your act together. That's grace. So the Father was giving me grace. And what's so ironic, Pastor Andre, is there throughout that year, I would ask him the exact same question that I'd asked him in the very beginning of the year. And guess what he said? Every time I asked him, he gave the exact same answer. His answer never changed for over a year. For over a year, he just sat there and watched me not only not apply the word, but get destroyed by the enemy in that particular area because I would not submit to him. We are in a situation where our circumstances will teach us so much more brutally than the Father and His Spirit will teach us and His Word will teach us. Because if we refuse the Word, if we refuse to be obedient to the Word, if we refuse to activate our faith in the Word, then our life's experiences will begin to teach us. It's immediate. It is immediate. We need to understand that. Are you receiving this? Are you grasping this, Pastor Andre? I'll pass it back to you. I don't want to go too fast because I was getting ready to put it into high gear, and I realized the Holy Spirit just kind of let me know. No, they need to grasp this. This is more than just you need to impart this. This is not a time to teach this. This is a time to impart this because they are living in this area right now where they've allowed Yeshua to be this person without realizing the important understanding of Yeshua being a salvation of maturity for perfect peace. Pastor Andre?
Wow. Yes, this is resonating very strongly. And it's, again, this is another one of those episodes where it's answering questions that I've been having personally. I love how you brought us back to the aspect of Yeshua in our situations. And like in Psalms, there's a psalm that says, He has also become my salvation. And you pointed out that that Hebrew for salvation is Yeshua. And we need to be looking for Yeshua in every moment. I also was really, really pondering and meditating on what you said as far as our circumstances will teach us. And I realize it's like an indicator, if you will. If we look at if our soul had a dashboard, we could say, okay, what's this light here? Basically, the circumstances in our life will illuminate which fruit we're lacking in and which one needs attention. And that's for our own protection. God has allowed this world to shape us, but it also points to the whole fact that He's saying, you know, the bride has made herself ready in the end times. This is the process with which we, Lord willing, make sure that we are where we need to be. We are checking the lights, making sure that our regular maintenance is being done. And as you mentioned eloquently, that's what grace is, the time to get ourselves together. And one thing that, as you kept saying, I was reminded, I said, there's something about that perfect peace phrase. And I reminded Rabbi, this is something you always say, shalom, shalom. That's what perfect peace, that's how you say perfect peace in Hebrew, shalom, shalom. And I'm realizing that so often I settle for half of that. And so I'm realizing we have to look for Yeshua in order to have that perfect peace, both of the shaloms together, so that we're not missing a shalom, but that we have the essence of Yeshua in His word and through Torah. So you're giving me a new tool, a magnifying glass, if you will, to seek and search for Yeshua, but through His word, and allowing that to inform my circumstances and help me to be who I need to be now. That is so good. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. And that's, in our closing, that's where we must be in this season, in this time, in this hour. We must be there. And then we must maintain and do like Daniel did in the early passages of Daniel, when it said Daniel purposed in his heart. So once we find it, we are going to have to purpose in our heart. We're going to have to allow it to be concrete, spiritually speaking, and then we need to allow to stay there and settle, and allow the concrete to settle without any types of deformities or anything that happens. We need to be still so that we'll know. And that know means to be intimate with our God. To know that He is God, that means to be intimate with Him. That doesn't mean to just, okay, I'm just going to wait and wait. No. A part of applying the word allows you and I to get to know the type of person He is. We get to know the type of person by going through the experiences with them. So when the Father gives you His word on a situation, He wants you to get to know Him and know what He will do for you and know that He will be there for you and with you. He doesn't want for you and I to wait over a year to apply His word and watch you go through so much turmoil that doesn't glorify him. That doesn't exalt him. It doesn't magnify him. It doesn't cause him to be joyous. Scripture says that Yeshua, that Yah, is pleased. He's happy. He is overjoyed by the prosperity of his saints, of his servants. He's happy when you're happy for a godly happiness. So don't think that he's like, well, you deserved it anyway. No. He knows you do. He knows I did. But he also knows that it grieves his heart, because I don't have to suffer longer than a millisecond, if that. Because when I asked him, he answered. My suffering does not glorify God. It doesn't make him joyous. When I learn the lesson and then I begin to apply his principles, that glorifies God. That makes him happy. You fathers out there, you mothers out there, think about that. When your child gets the analogy and begins to apply it in their life, that makes you happy. It blesses you. It makes you feel real good inside. Well, where did you get that attribute, that character? You got it from Yah. You got it from God. Pastor Andre, I'll let you close.
All right. Well, folks, you have been listening to These Be Perilous Times. And, of course, as you hear us say in the beginning of our show, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond or apply the things we know for these times. And so I pray that you all are receiving these wonderful words that we've been sharing this morning and that Rabbi has been imparting to us. It's not just for us to increase in knowledge, but literally to increase in wisdom and in maturity, as was said earlier. That maturity that is a distinguishing mark of one who has experience in applying the wisdom that they are learning. As you know, this is, and you may not know actually, but this is a broadcast and outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem. And we do also want to encourage everyone to go back and to study these things, study the scriptures that we went over, and look and seek and search the scriptures to see if these things are true. But if they are true, as we always say, then we need to apply them. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter, or simply desire to leave an encouraging word, please email us at office@bethhashem.org. To find out more about us, visit our website at www.bethhashem.org, and that's spelled BethHashem.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you'd like a deeper understanding of your Hebraic roots, Hebraic roots of the faith, our college, the Chi University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And you can see our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Finally, if you'd like to donate to this ministry and make an offering, you can do so via Cash App. And you can go to, on your mobile device, go to www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem. That's $BethHashem. Or you can mail to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And as we say, we just want to give thanks to those of you who have contributed and donated to this ministry. So we give you a thank you. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and close with the After Torah blessing, closing this time with this meal, if you will, with a blessing afterwards. And then we'll have the Aaronic benediction and then our closing prayer with Rabbi. So at this time, we'll have Pastor Doug with the After Torah study blessing.
Baruch Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu Baruch Ata Yehuah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of Truth and set our everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehuah, Giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And at this time, we'll recite this closing benedictions, this prayer from Numbers chapter 6. It's a blessing. And if you receive it for yourself and for your family, and receive the peace which Yah does bring, even through this passage. I want to recite it in Hebrew. Yivarechecha Yahuwah Meishmerecha Yair Yahuwah Panavelecha Bichunecha Yisa Yahuwah Panavelecha Be'eshem Lecha Shalom. May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen, amen, and amen. As we do the Aaronic blessing out of Numbers 6, 22 through 27. This is another affirmation, another point of reference to let us know that we are supposed to have the peace of God. We are supposed to be applying that peace. We are supposed to be able to receive a word from him pertaining to any situation, anything that we're going through, so that we can appropriate peace, so that we can utilize the faith that it takes to produce peace. So, Father, we ask right now in the name of Yeshua that you begin to remind us of about the words that have been spoken pertaining to our situation. Remind us so that we can apply the faith that you've given to us to use so that your peace will remain and fulfill what it's called in our life. We thank you. Thank you for this message. We ask that this message be hidden in our hearts. Produce the peace and fulfill the glory that belongs to you. In Yahushua's name, I pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.